using us to raise mighty people. And you are one of them. You are one of them. 2 Kings 6:24 to 26. How fascinating is this God? Thank God she's a spiritual girl, because she would have said, well, this scripture does not. And then she'll now go in the flesh and read something else and come here to see that, oh my goodness, that was the word from the Lord. Keep playing that. Let's read together. I want to go. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 4 score pieces of silver and the part of a calf of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help my lord, O king. Continue. Is that the last? And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of barn floor or out of the wine press? And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. Let's stop. There was so much famine that parents began to boil their children. So this woman said, let's eat mine today. Tomorrow we'll eat yours. So they actually did eat one of theirs. So we boiled my son. So what? We boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she had hid her son. So she played 419. They ate the first son, but when it was time to eat her own, she hid her own. Famine will drive people to do crazy things. Continue. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman that he rent his clothes and he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. And he said, God do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. In other words, he was blaming Elisha, what? For the prophetic word he released to stay, rain, and call forth for the famine. Okay, let's stop there because of time. Let's stop there because of time. Just a few definitions of famine. The dictionary calls it as the most severe kind of hunger crisis. It is very rare, but when it does occur, it means that there is an extreme shortage of food and several children and adults within a certain area are dying of hunger on a daily basis. That word in itself in the Hebrew is the word hunger. And today I'm not just talking about physical hunger and drought, you know, but also of spiritual famine. Amen. When the rains fail, you know, in scripture, you find every time in scripture that when the heavens are shut up, you know, and there is no water to water the earth, it leads to famine. The order of God is that the earth would produce. Genesis 1:11, that there is a system in place by reason of God's spoken word that the earth produces, amen, replenishes itself. And God said, let the earth what? Bring forth what? Grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. So when there is a famine, there is a disruption of this process. Amen. Okay. Seed time harvest. As long as the head remains, seed time and harvest what will not cease. But when there is famine, there is a disruption to that process. But you know that famine is not a new thing. It was the case in Bible days, and I'm going to list a number of them. We see the first one ever mentioned in Genesis 12:10. You know, Abraham experienced a famine, and then he went down to Egypt. He went down to Egypt. I may not be able to read all the scriptures, but as I, you know, mention them, flash them at least to take note of them, write them down. Famine propels people. Famine, you know, is a catalyst. It pushes people, you know, to move. Like there is farming in our nation, you know, it has triggered the jackpot trend. People looking for what? Greener pastures. Amen. So we see the first one, and we see another one in Genesis 26 verse 1. Isaac experienced a famine. But you see, in Moses, in Abraham's case, he went down to Egypt. But in his case, God said, no, don't go down to Egypt. Stay in that land. And there was famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Continue verse 2. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell of thee. Amen. So two different things. The same famine. One person, God said, move. The other person, God said, don't move. You don't move because people are moving in famine. Well, we're going to get there. You don't, if you move, you may move into crisis. Amen. But that's not my point. Let me keep listing them. And then we had another farming in Joseph's time. Remember? Genesis 41:54. Remember the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of farming, the vision that Pharaoh had and wanted an interpreter. And, you know, they sent for, you know that story. And Joseph came and he interpreted the dream, and also did not just interpret the dream but proffered a solution. And because of that, he became what? Well, he interpreted the dream, and that opened the door to becoming a prime minister. And because of that, he was employed to run the affairs of Egypt. And then there was another one in the time of the judges, Ruth 1:1. Remember, Ruth and Naomi emigrated because what? There was what? Famine. There was famine. There was drought. There was lack. There was dearth. Severe want. Then in 2 Samuel 21 verse 1, Israel experienced 3 years of famine. When they experienced 3 years of famine, the Bible says in the third year, David sought the Lord. Okay? And, you know, because Saul had broken the covenant that the Lord had, that the Jews, the Israelites, had with their neighbors, the Gibeonites, okay, and slew them. And because of that, you know, famine came. So David sought the Lord, and you can read that down, and God proffered a solution. You know, the Gibeonites were, I mean, there was some restitution done, you know, and Saul's, 7 people from Saul's family were killed, and that resolved the situation. Bible students, you can read on that. And then we see another one in 1 Kings 17, verse 1. The story of Ahab and Elijah. Remember that. According to my word, there shall be what? No rain, nor dew. So, he shut the heavens over a whole nation. Sorry, Elijah. That was Elijah. And then we have Elisha in 2 Kings 4:38 during the siege of Samaria. We read that already. Then we see another one in 2 Kings 8 verse 1. The 7 years foretold by Elisha in the reign of Zedekiah in Jerusalem when besieged by Nebuchadnezzar. Also 2 Kings 25 verse 3. It's, the account is rendered there. And then we see another one in Nehemiah 5. You know, after the children of Israel returned from captivity, Nehemiah 5 verse 3, when the city was besieged by Antiochus. And then we see from the New Testament, remember when Prophet Agabus gave a prophetic word about the famine that was ravaging the whole earth? Acts 11 verse 28. So this is not a new thing. Say, it's not a new thing. It's not a new phenomenon in the earth. Okay, and that gives us hope because people have been through it before. Amen. Now, what are the causes of farming? There are natural causes. Okay, in the early times, especially in lands dependent on their productions, famines were not infrequent, so they were frequent. Like I said, they were caused by irregularities in rainfall, you know, when there was no rain to water the earth, you know, crops could not grow, and that interrupted the entire ecosystem of growth. You can see this in Exodus 9:23. And then we have another account where insects ravaged lands. Exodus 10:15, Joel 1:4. You know, you hear the scripture of that says the years that what the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm have eaten. So sometimes, you know, pest insects ravaged farmlands. Spiritually, those are demonic agents, you know, that can attack people's finances. Remember that the Midianites used to come, and the job of the Midianites was to attack the farmlands of the Israelites. Okay, the job of the Midianites is to attack your economy. Every Midianite in your finances and economy dies right now. By dying, I don't mean they are human beings. I mean their activity comes to an end. In the name of Jesus. Famine were caused by insects, like I've said. Joel 1:4. They were also caused by enemies. Enemy invasions, a siege. Deuteronomy 28:51. If you read that whole scripture, verse 1 to 14, speaks about the blessing, and the other one speaks about the cause that comes when people rebel against God. One of the effects of the cause is that enemies would attack, you know, your land. And then we've read from 2 Kings 6:25, you know, how the enemy came and besieged Samaria, and because of that, there was famine. Because when there's war, nobody goes to farm. If you've been following the Russia-Ukraine war, you find out that, you know, the production of maize from Ukraine has plummeted because Ukraine is one of the largest producers of maize around the world. You see, when there's a siege, there is no agriculture, there is no economy going. You know, the bombardment of, you know, Gaza. Now, you know, there's no food, there's no water. Because when there's insecurity, there is no economy, there is no life happening. And you and I can bear witness to that. We are feeling the brunt in Nigeria. because of Boko Haram in the north. Sometimes you tell you the tomatoes you used to buy at so amount of money is, I mean, you can't afford it again because there's little coming from the north because herdsmen have, and terrorists and bandits have invaded farmlands to kill people. So it's a very serious matter. But this is not what we are dwelling on today. We want to dwell on strategy. I just wanted to give you some preamble. And then, of course, we spoke about the fact that it's prophecy. You know, the Lord Jesus has said in the last days there will be famines. Okay. And reading through the scripture, you'd see that one of the major things that trigger famine is rebellion against God. Say rebellion against God. So every now and then, God would allow for famine. One of the ways that people are touched is when their economy is touched, when they are humbled. God would send famine as judgment to help them retrace their steps. And if anyone is going through famine because of the judgment of God, may the mercy of God shine on you this morning. Remember, it's a prophetic service. There are people that God has opened doors for, gave you a big contract, you know, gave you a breakthrough, and all of a sudden you use that same breakthrough to fight God. And that breakthrough is the reason why you are going after strange women. You are oppressing people. The Bible says that God can allow a famine to come, a drought. Amen. So, what are these strategies? Number one. That's right. Number one. One of the most important strategies. One of the most important things in farming. Are you ready? Is the voice of God. Say the voice of God. The voice of God. By the voice of God, I'm talking about divine guidance and direction in famine. Let's go to Isaiah 26 that we've just read. Remember, there was a famine prior to that in Genesis 21. The Bible says that Abraham went down to Egypt. But there was another famine. And Isaac could have just told along with the formula, but God said, this particular one, don't go to Egypt. Stay here. Say, stay here. Genesis 26 verse 1. Let's read it again. Genesis 26 verse 1. Let's read it from verse 1 to 3. 1 to go. Appeared unto him and said, somebody say, and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I tell thee. Stop. In famine, before you plan to relocate, before you plan to change jobs, before you plan to change cities, go to God. Say, go to God. What would you have me do? Where would you have me be? Say the voice of God. Say the voice of God. Isaiah 48 verse 17. Why is it very important to follow the voice of God in famine? Why is it very important to follow the voice of God? Isaiah 48 verse 17. Want to go? Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am who? I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way. Do you know that a time of famine can become for you a time of your greatest opportunity? Do you know people who made it big in COVID? Because while there was a death and death in the nations of the earth, that whole, you know, unusual activity in the earth opened a new vista for certain persons who were able to hear, who were able to follow the leading of the Lord. So when it comes to farming, one of your most prized resources is the voice of God. The ability to know what God is saying. The ability to know what God is doing. Say the voice of God. Isaiah 30 verse 21. Isaiah 30 verse 21. And thy ear shall do what? Hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand, it's important in this season that your ears are on God's chest. Don't follow the crowd. Say, don't follow the crowd. Tell somebody, follow the cloud. The Bible speaks about the cloud that would guide the children of Israel. You know, and whenever the cloud went, they go. And whenever it stopped, they stopped. Don't follow the crowd. Follow the cloud. Because the voice of God will lead you to his will. Say, the voice of God will lead you to his will. And that brings me to the second point. The most important thing, they are both related, in farming is the presence of God. You see, the voice of God is the token of his presence. Say, the voice of God is a token of his presence. When I hear your voice, I've seen you, right? If you are talking to me, I won't say, oh, I can hear your voice. I'm saying I can hear you. Amen. Go to Genesis 26 verse 2 again. He says, stay in this land. The voice brought direction. It said, stay in this land. So, by the voice of God, he had direction. And by the voice of God, he knew the presence of God. He knew where God was. And I'm going to explain the context of that word presence there. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell of thee. Yes, where we're going, verse 3. Multimedia, help me today. We don't have time. Sojourn where? In this land. Say, in this land. Why this land? I will be with thee. Say, I will be with thee. The presence of God is the secret to prosperity. The presence of God. Staying where God is. Let me explain that. And when I mean the presence of God, I mean divine presence. The presence of God is his okay, let me say it this way. When the Bible says in John, I think John 14 verse 2, I will never leave you nor forsake you. All right? That's an eternal promise. That is that God's abiding presence. See, abiding presence is with you. So wherever you are, you know, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. But when I talk about the presence in this context, I'm talking about where God is per season in your life. See, where God is. Finding where God is in your life. In other words, I'll give you an example. Oh, everyone is moving from banking to fintech. That's the new thing, all right? My friends have all moved from banking. They are now in fintech. They are earning big money. And then you go to God, Lord, what would you have me do? God says to you, stay in banking. What does he mean? God is in your life in banking. That's where he is. If you go to fintech, he's not there. He may be there for other people, but for you, he's still in banking. Am I communicating? Are you learning something? That's how you survive. So, Lord, should I relocate? Yes, relocate. When he says relocate, it means that he's waiting for you there. There, I've commanded what? A widow. When the brook dried up, he said, go to what the, you know, a widow. I've commanded there, I've commanded a widow to sustain you. So God had left the brook, Cherith, and was at the widow's place. Do you understand? Because if you stay where God is not, you will dry up. When God leaves a place, it dries up. What makes a place flourish and bud and blossom is the presence of God. Say the presence of God. The obedience to the voice of God led him to the presence, to God's, you know, will for his life. Yes, and that's another word. God's will for your life. Are you in the center of God's will? Are you where God is in your life? Do we understand? His leading guidance automatically helps you to secure his presence. Say his leading, his guidance helps you to secure his presence. In other words, where he is. God, what are you doing now in my life? God says, okay, regarding your career, I'm in a master's degree for you. Go for your master's now. How many of you understand what I'm saying? May you stay where God is in your life. Are you being blessed? There's nothing like knowing that despite the hardship or storms you are faced with, God is with you. Say, God is with you. Psalm 23 verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art what? With me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Don't follow the crowd. Follow the cloud. Find where God is in your life. Find what he's doing in your life and stay there. Tell somebody, find what God is doing in your life. Find where God is in your life and stay there. Hope you understand the concept. I'm not talking about his abiding presence. He's there. I'm talking about where he is in your life per season. What he's doing in your life. Are you being blessed? The presence of God is the difference. Makes the difference. Genesis 39 verse 23. Genesis 39 verse 23. So even in this harsh economy, once you can secure his presence, once you know that, for my own life, God is in Nigeria. Stay there. If he has left to London, you better follow him. If he has left to Canada, you better follow him. For your own life, not for your friend. Are you learning what I'm saying? Even in where you live physically, stay where God is staying. I mean, I can give you testimonies from this. Every place I've stayed, we prayed before going. And every time I go there, I see the reason. I see the breakthroughs. I see the blessings. I've shared a story, and I'll share this, you know, in our current estate. I think I shared it last week, but I think it will make sense in this context. Every now and then, I will pray around the estate. I had no plot of land, not even a grass in the place. Every time I'm praying, the Holy Spirit will lead me, cover the estate, the neighbors in the blood of Jesus. Pray for their salvation. And then I'm just praying and blessing them. Father, keep this once. No robbery. No one is going to die. I'm doing a prayer walk every time. I'm walking around. I'm praying. Even though every now and then when you are there, Pastor, now, pray for me. So one of those days I was praying and I heard in my spirit, the land you bless blesses you. The land you are blessing will bless you. Long story short, God blessed us with a few things in the estate, but I want to share this. A man who worked in a big oil company bought this retirement home. retirement home. You know, big space of land. Developers have come. Because he's a well-to-do person, he didn't want to sell it. He was, you know, he wanted to be sure who is buying it. But the wife said, you know what, there's too much traffic coming towards our end. Let them get a house in Ikoyi. And they bought a house in Ikoyi. Now, the value of this house, of this property, is twice more than what he wanted to sell it. But people were coming, just didn't want to sell it. Then somebody came to me, hey, Pastor Nathan, are you interested in this property? And when he came, I felt something stir up in my heart. I'm like, okay, let's look at it. I looked at it. You know, I had some sort of witness to go further. And then I asked my wife, I'll normally ask her for, you know, for our opinion, and then we'll decide. And then I prayed about it, and I felt a release in my heart to go ahead. Now, to show you that if you stay where God is, you will get what he has for you. The day they told me about the square meter of the land, they said, oh, it is 1,600 square meters. I was listening to a radio station for the first time, and the radio station was 1,600 AM. I was looking at it. While I was looking at the radio station frequency, 1,600, the agent was telling me it is 1,600 square meters. I knew it was a sign. I said, okay, let's go look at it. When I got into the place, the first furniture that I saw in the house was a man blowing a trumpet. Put your hands together. I knew that when that man was getting that place, God had me in mind. But if I hadn't heard the voice of God to lead me to that estate, I won't get my allocation. Somebody say, your allocation is tied to your location. See, the reason why things delay in people's lives is because they are not where God wants them to be. Marriage is not that hard. You are probably not around where God wants you to meet your spouse. By the wind of God, I'm prophesying now. By the mercy of God, may you find your prepared place. May you find your ordained place. I'm prophesying. Oh, I'm prophesying. May the wind of God blow you to your prepared place. If you have left where you ought to be, by the mercy of God and by the hand of God, locate your prepared place. In the name of Jesus. And when they said to the man, oh, there's somebody who wants to buy it. And they said to him, my name. He refused every other person. He said, is he the pastor? Sell it for him. The property is twice less than the exact value. If I sold it now, I'll get 100%. For they got not the land. Psalm 44 verse 3. By the sword. Neither did their own arm save them. But thy right hand, may the hand of God lead somebody this morning. In the name of Jesus. In the presence of God. May you find where God wants you to be. Number three. Number one is what? The voice of God. Number two is what? Number three, the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. Wisdom is the ability to make the right decisions leading to godly and good outcomes. We shared this about 2 or 3 weeks ago. The decision is made based on knowledge and understanding amidst varying choices and alternatives. Let me read that again. Wisdom is the ability to make the right decisions leading to godly and good choices. And this decision is made based on knowledge and understanding amidst varying choices and alternatives. Thank God for the voice of God, for the presence of God. But in farming, you've got to deploy the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. Say wisdom of God. And let's make this practical now. Let's go to Genesis 39. Are you blessed? Genesis 41, I beg your pardon. It's a long read, but I don't want us to read through it. But you know that when Joseph began to interpret the dream, you know, he told him about the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of what? Leanness of famine. And when he shared the dream, in verse 33, he said, "Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet, wise, and set him over the land of Egypt." He was reading his own CV. So Pharaoh was already so blessed that this guy that interpreted this dream, you know, he was already so fascinated. And when he began to profile wisdom, say wisdom. This is the place that we miss it many times. The planning aspect. The wise decisions. The choices that we make. So, Joseph said, "Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in 7 plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come. And lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the city." Somebody say wisdom. "And that food shall be for store to the land against 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine." It's not everything that you get that you spend. He advised Pharaoh, get a storehouse in the years of plenty. Set aside a percentage. Do you know there are people, there are believers, even here. You experienced the rain of heaven, abundance, breakthroughs. The first thing you did was to spend on luxury goods. Flying first class. Throwing parties. And not knowing that life happens in seasons. In this season, God wants us to be a people who can put out money to save. Say savings. As simple as that. It's not everything that comes to you that you spend. I'll give you my example. Years ago, when God said, leave, you know, secular commitment, I left it. I loved God, you know. I was serving the Lord, helping with the children. The righteous man, but I was broke. You can be sincere and sincerely broke. Because you are not living wisely. And because of the way I will make money, recordings, doing this, I will spend the way the money came. Before the end of the month, it's not adding up. While I was burning and casting, the Lord said, go and check your account balance. Go to the bank. So I went to the bank. I asked for an account balance 6 months. I realized that with the money I was making, even then, if I was saving a part of it, I would have built a house. I knew I was foolish. So what did I do? I opened an account called the dump account. A dump account is where I don't take money from. I put money in, a fraction of my savings, and every now and then when people say to me, "Pastor Nadia, you have a blessing to me, I hold this one." It goes there because I didn't think of it in the first place. The money I didn't plan for, the one I didn't pray for that just came, went straight to the dump account. It was from that dump account I recorded someone knocking at the door. Recorded some of the albums that have blessed the nation. I would have been running and reveling in poverty and pain because of lack of wisdom. Let somebody receive sense this morning. It's not every ashoebi they bring to you, you buy. It's not every time they say it's happening in Ijebuode that you enter a flight, that you enter a bus. Am I speaking this morning? God is saying it's time to cut the excesses. Don't live a fake life. You can't afford it now. You can't afford it. What are you doing with iPhone 15 and any 150,000? Then when you finish, please, can you borrow me 10,000 dirty? Receive sense in Jesus' name. David said, Joseph said, open a storehouse. Set aside some money. Do you know that some opportunities will come to you in this season? That the time of famine is also the time of wealth transfer. That sometimes somebody will bring to you a land that is so expensive and they just want to sell off. But if you don't have a savings, uncle, you miss the opportunity. Tell somebody, receive sense. Are you being blessed? Don't just save, but invest. Say invest. Oh, yes. You don't build wealth by saving, no. You build wealth by investing. Oh, Pastor Matt, my salary is just 75,000. Save 5,000. Be faithful in the little. Get the principle. It's about the principle. And money is a spirit. Once you treat it well, it will follow you. You have to learn to grow according to your size. Say grow. I've said before, we don't blow in this kingdom, we grow. I was living in Ogbeshie Street. Praise. You see, this is full circle. Please stand. I was in prayer. God is so intentional. Why would he bring her today? When I was in prayer and asking God, where should I live? The person who told me after my prayer about the house that was available was her father. Was her father. We're living where? Ilaje, Ogbeshie Street. Then I was already an established music minister, featuring with Gloria Brima, Miracle Walker, you know, traveling. I was living in Ogbeshie. If you are living there, you will know me. Anybody in Ilaje? I was doing prayer work on, you know, it was like a shanty place, but they had a nice, you know, some place that were developing. One of the days, my music minister friend came to look for me. And when she, you know, went through the road and came to my house, she said, Pastor Nat, you're more than this place. I said, this is where I can afford, man. Hello? He said, no, this is not where your pedigree. I said, madam, the pedigree is here for now. Amen. But every now and then, when I would go on a prayer walk around Okweshei, the Holy Spirit would open my eyes to opportunities in real estate. It was from living in that place that I began to take interest in real estate. By the grace of God, we buy houses now. I'm not sure the person who told me that your level this thing has a place yet. Tell somebody, start small and grow. All this form in the body of Christ. I want to live in phase one. And then you go and borrow money and be what you are not. May God deliver you from it. Somebody say wisdom. Give me First Kings. Remember that woman? That woman. Are you being blessed? These are divine strategies. First Kings 17. I think, let me get my scriptures right. First Kings 17, 7 to 16. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Remember? And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, what? Arise, get thee to Zarephath. Remember my point that the presence of God is where God is. So God said, I'm no longer in what? The brook. So if you stay here, you're on your own. I'm going where? To Zarephath. So meet me there, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to do what? To sustain thee. Let me drive home that point. God's presence is where he wants you to be. Part time. In a season. So Elijah was. There was a time where God was at the brook Cherith. You know, he drank. You know, a raven brought him food there. But God said, we have moved. What was that? Moses Bleason. He said, I have moved. Some of you are still walking in a place and God has moved. Sometimes when he even moves, the people would increase your salary. Some salary increase you are testifying over is a trap to keep you. That's a word for somebody. Have you noticed that sometimes when God wants you to do something and you don't do it, the thing that they should have done since that they didn't do, and it's at that time they will now do it because it's a trap, it's a test to keep you, because God has moved, the cloud has moved. May you not stay when the cloud has moved. As I'm speaking, receive impartations to know and be empowered to move where God wants you to be. Amen. Read on. Are you being blessed? So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gates of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Continue. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel. Say, I have something. Everybody has something. You just don't know it. And a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. Remember, this was farming season. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. We're going to come back to that. And bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the course of cruel fail, until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Can I use that to prophesy over someone? Go to verse 15. Go to verse 14 quickly. Go back. I declare according to the word of the Lord that the barrel of your meal shall not waste. The cruse of your oil shall not fail in this economy until God sends rain upon Nigeria. Until the value of our naira is restored. Your cruse of oil shall not fail. Your meal shall not waste. In the name of Jesus. Go to 16. Quickly go to 16. Remember, it's also a prophetic service. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which is spoken by what? Elijah. Verse 17. And it came to pass after these things, that the son of the woman, okay, go back. I want to see, was it this or the other one where it says, go, not this. The other one, please go to the other one. Go sell the rest and live on it. Get me that scripture. Okay, let me get it from my notes. I want to show you something on wisdom. That was Elisha, right? Second Kings 4:7. So, remember the wife of a prophet, the husband had died and left what? A debt. And the creditors came, you know, to take the son. So she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay the debt and live thou on the rest. Prior to that, please go to verse 5 and 6. Let's have a little bit of context. Hallelujah. Help me now. Go to 4. I'm just trying to rush. And when thou art come in, please go to 3. Let's have Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. Verse 4, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, shut the door upon her and upon her sons, and who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go. Somebody say, go. Sell the oil, pay the debt, and leave thou and thy children on the rest. My point here is this. The prophet came. He brought the supernatural. Say the supernatural. Like I'm bringing the supernatural this morning. We're going to release a word of prophecy over you. And doors will just open. God will put people in your mind. The contracts you didn't plan for will come to you. The employment you didn't plan for will come to you. Benefits you didn't know about will come to you. But he then said to her, when they come, you now have to go and deploy what? Wisdom. Say wisdom. So the prophet came with the supernatural, came with miracle. And let me read what I wrote here. Because you see, it is not God's plan for us to live by miracles. Say to live by miracles. No, 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 no. God's plan is not for us to live by miracles every day. Miracles are just interventions of God's principles. You see, when you get to a place and you are stuck and it's, you know, you've gone to the end of yourself, then heaven intervenes with miracles. Miracles are like bailout systems of heaven. Say bailout system. So it's not meant to be every day. God expects us to live by wisdom. Go, sell the rest, pay your debt, and live on the rest. You see, go, sell the oil, pay your debt, and live on the rest. The prophet didn't say, okay, squander this, tomorrow I'm going to come to have another breakthrough anointing, another breakthrough service. He didn't say, I'll come every week, because that's not God's plan. God's plan is for us to live by wisdom. Say, God's plan is for us to be a people of wisdom. God wants us to be a people of wisdom, strategic people who are able to discern the times and align ourselves accordingly. Amen. Some will say you need wisdom. So, for some of you, in this farming time, you have to ask God, what business am I supposed to do? Because there are needs. What am I supposed to start? Even as I'm speaking, ideas are coming to you now. He's giving you knowledge for witty invention. Because every day, God won't release the anointing and grace every day to make wealth. He won't release that supernatural door. He won't come and cause people to give you miracle money. No, 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 no. God is a responsible God. He's a very responsible God. My father walketh hitherto and I walk. God wants you to use the mind he's giving you. He's giving you a brain. He wants you to have ideas. He wants you to close the door like the woman. You know, reproduce the oil. Go and sell it. He wants you to create value. God wants you to create value. Leave all these things. I receive now. I receive now. No, 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 no. You receive the grace that blesses the work of your hands and you use your hand to walk. Are you being blessed? Say, God is a responsible God. Let's go to the next one. The prophetic. Say the prophetic. Now this is where we'll probably end. The prophetic. The grace advantage. Hope you know that you can have wisdom. You can have strategy. You can have a plan. You can have business plan. You can have a model. You can have a module. You can go to Kellogg's Business School. You can go to Harvard. You can go to Cambridge and still be stuck. But there is a spirit of intelligence in man. The breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. That there is the prophetic edge. That there is by this time tomorrow. Don't despise despise not prophesying. The Bible says, by prophet, Israel was what? Ah! Oh, this is the part that excites him. If I were you, I would pray in tongues. Because something's about to rest on you. I'm not sure you heard some of the testimonies today. I'm not sure you heard some of the testimonies that some people came and then a prophetic word went ahead and it shifted the trajectory of their lives and it opened, you know, a portal of blessing to them. Oh, yes. I believe in the prophetic. I believe in wisdom. I believe in working with your hands. I believe in being diligent. I believe in having a structure. But I believe in the prophetic word, in the creative power of the word of God. The grace advantage. Say the grace advantage. It is deploying the creative word. By the word of God, the walls were framed. Amen. Hebrews 1. This is how we frame our reality. Oh, somebody's about to pray now. Oh, somebody's about to explode. Remember that in the beginning, it was the word that kickstarted the entire process of fruitfulness. Genesis 1:11. Famine is a disruption of that process. When God made you and I, he made us well. But every now and then, even our physical body breaks down to sicknesses, you know, and diseases. Due to sicknesses and diseases. But then we correct it by speaking the word. By your stripes, we were healed. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed. You use the word of God to frame your reality. Psalm 107 verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. What you say in famine will determine how you fear in famine, will determine how you fear in it. How you talk in hard times will directly impact upon your stock, what you have. Life is spiritual and transacted with words. Words are spiritual entities. Jesus says, the word I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. John 6, 63. Proverbs 18:20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Proverbs 18:20. Proverbs 13, verse 2. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. Job 22:29. He says, when you are cast down and humble, when men say there's a casting down, what will you say? First Peter 3 verse 10. For the one who wants to enjoy life and see good days, whether apparent or not, must keep his tongue from speaking vile. And his lips from speaking evil. In the prophetic, the number one prophet is you. Say in the prophetic. Shout. Say in the prophetic. The number one prophet is you. No prophet will prophesy more than you prophesy for yourself. Amen. Job 22. When they shall say what, there's what? Your pastor shall say for you. The geo shall say for you. And you... you shall declare what? Can I give you a minute to stand up and begin to prophesy over your life? Let me help you with some materials. Psalm 37 verse 19. Job 5 verse 20. Psalm 33 verse 19. Every now and then, look yourself in the mirror. I shared on Twitter my God moments. How I entered the bathroom. And when that shower is coming on me, I turn it to prophecy. I said, this is torrents of favor. Just as the water comes on me, so the favor of God is coming. So the wisdom of God pours upon me. So the grace of God pours upon me. I am blessed. I am exceedingly fruitful. Your mouth, your tongue is very vital in famine. out loud. Don't pray in tongues. Say, I have that contract. I have it. I am blessed. I am not a victim of the Nigerian economy. Hey, somebody pray that. Say, 2024 is a better year for me. Oh, yes. Say, in farming I'm preserved. The Lord delivers my soul from death and keeps me alive in farming. Second Kings verse 7. Let me show you the danger of despising the prophetic. Second Kings verse 7. And I'm very serious with this. You see, the problem with the church, by church I mean you and I, is in this atmosphere we are fired up. They are angels. So we are speaking words of faith. But when we leave this door, you get into those conversations, your relatives, office people, neighbors. Oh, I beg this Nigeria, I beg, nothing they happen. Then you say, Nigeria, yes. Then you when you join in, you send conflicting signals to the angels. The angel that was in the church was hearing faith. And when you left, you said, hey, I'm finished. You know, nothing they happen. They don't know what to do because they war with your words. Angel who excel in strength and hearkening to the word of God's command. Tell somebody, don't conflict the signals. Stop conflicting the signals. Say, I will thrive in farming. Say, I'm the number one prophet of my destiny. Say, I'm not a victim of the Nigerian economy. I'm not a victim of the world economy.
I'm not a victim of the world.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Let's read this together. Are you being blessed? Second Kings 7. See, this is how I live. Oh. This is how I live. Ask the people near me. Ask my wife. I'm very conscious of my words. Oh, there's no dollar. I said, when I need dollar, I'll have dollar. And see, every time I need it, let me give you an example. I was looking for a right pocket square to put here. I didn't find on time. I didn't want to be late. I just said, if I have a gold pen. And I said, Lord, if I need a gold pen. I went to church office today. Somebody gave me a gift of a gold pen. That's it. Your mouth. You don't know the power you have in this mouth. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Tomorrow about this time. Can I prophesy over someone? Tomorrow about this time. Tomorrow about this time. God is making a way for you. God is making a way for you. In the strangest places, by the strangest of men, God is making a way for you. God is opening doors for you. He's making ways in the wilderness. Put that Isaiah 58 verse 11 that Esther brought for us. My God, I feel him right now. And the Lord shall guide you continually. I declare the Lord satisfy thy soul in drought. And make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be a well-watered garden. And like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your waters will never fail. Go to Second Kings verse 7. Tell somebody, despise not prophesying. Don't despise the prophetic. If you don't believe it, keep quiet. Mm-hmm. Leave us alone to be foolish enough to believe. Tomorrow about this time, thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, ah, even if the Lord would make a window in heaven, might this thing be? I beg, you know, every time all this prophetic, I beg. And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thy eye, but shalt not eat of it. May that not be your portion. For you will see it and eat of it. You will see it and handle it. Believe the Lord your God and it shall be established. Believe his prophet and shall prosper. You will see it and eat of it. In the name of Jesus. the next level. Keep standing, keep standing, keep standing. The next level, you are the first prophet to your destiny. The next level is a sent prophet. I come to you as a sent one. Every now and then, God sends a prophetic voice. Some people have them for a lifetime. Some people have them in season. Like the woman at the well. Jesus was going somewhere. The Bible says he needs to go through Samaria. And then saw her and gave her a prophetic word that changed her destiny. Can you permit me to come as a prophet this morning? As a sent one. As a one sent from God over your life. Can I prophesy that in famine you will laugh? In famine you will thrive. In the name of Jesus. Luke 4:25. Luke 4:25. God sends us prophets. By prophet Israel was delivered. By prophet Israel was preserved. But I tell you of a truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout the land. Verse 26. This is it. But unto none of them was Elias sent. Can I come to you as one sent to the oasis? That your heavens are open. Amen. That in this season you drink of the rain of heaven. That when men say there is a casting down, for you, you will declare there is a lifting. There is a lifting. Ah, somebody is saying, what of those online? This word comes to you today. I said thrive. I said prosper. 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 Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Right on the high places of the earth. Eat of the increase of the field. Suck honey out of the rock and oil from the flinty rock in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I command you to live in the overflow. Live in the overflow. You shall not borrow. You will lend to many. You will lend to nations. You will not be consumed by the sword, by the famine, by the word of the Lord. I say prosper. Start that business. Access that capital. The gates are open. That contract comes to you. That idea comes to you. Flourish. Flourish. Blossom. Somebody speak in tongues. Receive it. Receive it. Your case is different. You have plenty. I come as a sent one. I come as a sent one. Believe the Lord your God, he shall be established. Believe his prophet and shall prosper. Say, I believe. The word of the prophet.
The word of the prophet.
He shall give them pastors. If you receive a prophet, if you receive me as Nathaniel Bassey from Akwa Ibom State, you get Akwa Ibom State reward. If you receive me as a prophet sent from God, you will get the prophet's reward. Receive the prophet's reward. This word carries you through 2024. This is your greatest year yet. I launch you to the billion levels, into the hundreds of millions level, for the sake of the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, rejoice in that one. Rejoice, rejoice. Whoa. Let me just list these three. List these three very quickly. The next, just stay. The next. Yes, while you cut the excesses, you know, re-strategize, stop spending unnecessarily. God told Isaac to sow in that land. One of the best times to sow. I'm not going to take a seed now, so don't calm down. every now and then in this season, God will give you prophetic instructions. Not necessarily to a church. Take care of that woman. Go and give to that gate man. Go and give your mother. I'm telling you. Go and give your pastor. Go and give your this thing. The prophet came. Remember the first scripture we read? The widow in Zarephath. She will sustain you. She will sustain you. But the sustenance of the widow was through her giving to the prophet. Sometimes you think you are giving to a man of God, not knowing you are giving to yourself. Paul says in Philippians 4, not that I desire a gift, I desire fruit that will accrue to your account. Philippians 17. Be sensitive. These are the seasons for prophetic sacrificial givings. God will tell you to give. Maybe not all. Every now and then, bless this person, and that becomes a trigger. Next, share. Say share. Famine is not a time to be a loner. No. Not a loner. That's the idea of forsake not the word, the gathering of the saints. This is the time that when you have excess, you are looking for a believer who needs. You have a bag of garri. That's not the time to lock your door. It's to look for another believer who needs some. Am I communicating? They brought in their goods and their monies, and they shared as the people had needs. That was the character of the New Testament church. You chop alone, now you die alone. And when I mean, you know, sharing, whether you have, see, the other day we called for some people, STS. I said, you need transfer money, stand up. Some people were too proud to stand up. By the time I told them what I was going to give, we're going to give 50,000. People were trying to say, I said, no, I'm not giving. Because you are proud. Don't be proud now. Don't be proud. You need something to eat. Walk up to a brother. Hey, man, bro, city, get a CBO. Say, come over to the house. Come to church. Bring some packs of food. Tubers of yam. We're meant to live like that. Yes, put your hands together. Don't be like that foolish rich man. Open your storehouse. Hey. Wow. Wow. The Bible says God demanded his soul. That he said you are foolish. What? Every now and then we bring. Do you know that the cow that you ate a few Sundays ago, they gave it to me. It wasn't for you. The person brought seed, pastor. But by default, when they bring something, I'm thinking about church. I'm thinking about church. Every now and then I look at my wardrobe. I say, this thing is here for too long. No way. Bring it to church. You have 50 shoes. And you glory in just lining them up. You don't wear them. Share them. Say share. Say share. This is a share. The last point is praise. Say praise. Praise and rejoicing. Do you know that rejoicing is a fertilizer for harvest? Let the people praise thee, O Lord. Let the people praise thee. Then the earth shall yield and increase. Come on, choir, come. That's why I was excited when they sang that song. If you open your mouth with joy, withdraw. With joy, withdraw. Can I give you 1 minute to have a praise break? Jeremiah 30:19. Come on, choir. Lift your hands and thank God. Thank him for that word. Thank him for the word. Thank him for the word. No. When you praise, your praise is like a manure. Your praise is like a fertilizer for your land. Hey, 30:19. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. And I will do what? Multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will glorify them, and they shall not be small. Psalm 67 verse 5. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let the people praise thee. And then the earth shall yield and increase. That's how we shut out famine. which I close, beyond physical famine, there is spiritual famine. If you are not born again, what you are suffering is severe eternal drought and famine. You don't even qualify for the things we've shared, but you have an opportunity. Every eye closed, head bowed. If you are here and you want to say, Pastor Nathaniel, I want to feast on the bread of life and drink from the fountain of life such that I will thirst no more. Wherever you are, I'm a sinner. I'm a backslider. I'm empty. I've tried to fill up this void with things, with sex, with pleasure, with money, with influence, with knowledge, but I still feel empty. At the count of three, without fear, without shame, raise your hands. One, two, three. Raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Put your hands together for them. Hi, 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 hi. God bless you. God bless you. And those of you raising your hands, Jesus says to come, come. He's calling you. Come quickly, come quickly, come quickly, come quickly.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up.
Put your hands as they come. They are coming to Jesus.
Come and quit.
Rush, come, come. This is the real bread of life. I want you to run. Bread of heaven. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. It doesn't matter how dark your past. Come to Jesus. Come on, clap as they come. Clap as they come. Oh, can you see what God has done? Clap as they come. All over this building, come to Jesus. Pastor Nathaniel, I'm a sinner. Run, come to Jesus. That's right. Hallelujah. See what God has done. See what the Lord has done. Yahoo, Yahoo boy, whether you are a prostitute, whether you are a thief, you are a robber, Jesus said, come. It doesn't matter how dark your past is. This is the bread that came from heaven. This is the bread. This is the bread that came from heaven. Eternal life. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. He's calling you. That's right. He's calling you. That's right. That's right. Cry to him. He sees that tears. Now, he sees those tears. Every one of you, look at me closely. Look at me, look at me. You're going to say this prayer from your heart. Lift up your right hand. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for me. Thank you. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. I forsake my sins. I declare that I am washed in your blood. My sins are forgiven. I am born again. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Father, I declare everyone here saved to the uttermost. You see these tears. You see these tears. Thank you for saving them. Satan has lost over these ones. Satan has lost. They are brand new and born again. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please help me lay hands on them and please go with them. Go with that sister very quickly outside. We'll attend to you. I'll come and lay hands on you after the service, so don't go. Put your hands together for them. Have you been blessed? Have you been blessed? Give him a shout of praise. Very quickly, very quickly.